In his latest book, titled Jesus Interrupted, Bart Ehrman, who is now a media darling, says that the Bible is filled with discrepancies, irreconcilable contradictions. He says Moses didn't write the Pentateuch, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't write the Gospels, the Exodus probably didn't happen, the conquest of the Promised Land is probably based on legend, and it's hard to know whether Moses even existed. The historical narratives of the Old Testament are filled with legendary fabrication, and on he goes. And then in his book, he cites a litany of discrepancies and errors, some of which caused him to transition from a fundamentalist Christian to a happy agnostic, and now his mission in life is to shake the faith of his students. And one of the inconsistencies that he cites in his book is the Gospel of Mark indicates that it was the last week of Jesus' life that he cleansed the temple by overturning the tables of the money changers and saying, this is to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Whereas, he says, according to John, this happened at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And then he says some readers have thought that Jesus must have cleansed the temple twice, once at the beginning of his ministry and then once at the end. But, says Ehrman, that would mean that neither Mark nor John tells the true story, since in both accounts he cleanses the temple only once. He further asks, is this reconciliation of the two accounts historically plausible? If Jesus made a disruption of the temple at the beginning of his ministry, why wasn't he arrested by the authorities then? And it concludes with the following dogmatic assertion, historically speaking then, the accounts are not reconcilable. Well, is Professor Ehrman right? Is this just one more in a litany of errors made by a pseudonymous gospel writer, or is this just indicative of a professor gone wild? And I would first say, in answer to that question, it is not only uncharitable, but unquestionably wrong-headed to suggest that neither Mark nor John, who, by the way, Ehrman demeans as illiterate, would be telling the true story had the temple been cleansed twice, as is no doubt obvious to even the most unlettered of Ehrman's students. Neither gospel writer provides an exhaustive account of everything Jesus said or did. As the Apostle John communicates in hyperbolic parlance, no doubt lost on a wooden literalist like Bart Ehrman, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Furthermore, the Gospel of John itself provides a more than historically plausible insight as to why Jesus might not have been arrested during initial temple cleansing. The proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back leading to the arrest and trial of Jesus would quite logically have resulted from a late, not an early temple cleansing. Not only so, but as the Gospel of John makes clear, the Jewish leaders did not arrest Jesus in the early stages of his ministry for fear of the multitudes who were in awe of Christ's teachings and miracles. And one final point. As even a cursory reading reveals, John chirologically orders his gospel by theme. And I think that's an important point, because John as such says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, which fulfills the Old Testament promise that God's glory would again return to his temple. Moreover, John reinterprets the meaning of Passover by revealing Jesus as the quintessential Passover lamb, and as such it would be logically, and I would say charitably, surmised that John might introduce his account of Christ's temple cleansing early in his gospel narrative and within a context in which Jesus is revealed as the substance that fulfills the types and shadows of temple, priest, and sacrifice. And while such a notion does not set well with a fundamentalist reading of Scripture, it accords well with a nuanced and highly sophisticated reckoning of time particular to the ancients. A chirological interpretation which reckons time not in terms of our familiar chronological ordering, but in terms of a quality of purpose in which an event is said to occur at just the right time. In other words, even if there was only one temple cleansing, one might logically assume that John communicates it chirologically as opposed to chronologically. Of course, the very fact that a number of plausible resolutions have been forwarded precludes the charge that the gospel accounts are in fact contradictory. So Bart Ehrman sets this up as a way of dissuading his students, particularly the ones he calls his conservative students, from believing that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Here's what he says. Listen to this. Some students accept these new views from day one, the new views that the Bible is riddled with error. Others, especially among the more conservative students, resist for a long time, secure in their knowledge that God would not allow any falsehoods into a sacred book. But before long, as students see more and more of the evidence, many of them find that their faith in the inerrancy and absolute historical truthfulness of the Bible begins to waver. And that, of course, is his goal. He's shaking the faith of his students because he wants them to know what he thinks is true, and that is that the Bible is riddled with error. And I think in the face of that onslaught against the Bible, we need to be always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. I don't mean to be too technical, but all of the questions that he raises concerning the Bible, we have answers for, and we'll be giving them out as the broadcast proceeds over the coming weeks and months.